Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop, Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get seven.
Three-run homer, Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist, Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away, center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Well, it's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being back once again as tonight marks the start of a huge weekend series. The Angels come to town for three games. And, I mean, you start doing the math, there's not a ton of opportunities left in this season. And the Mariners have got to take advantage of this weekend series against the Angels. Everybody lost yesterday except for the Twins. So every team in the race is on a losing streak. Twins now 73-67, holding the second wild card. The Angels one game back. Baltimore 2. Texas 2.5. Tampa and Kansas City 3.5. Mariners now 69-71, 4 back. They've lost 3 in a row, looking to snap that streak against the Angels. Angels playing some great ball. They've won 6 of their past 8 ball games. Their lineup looks a lot different with Brandon Phillips at the top, who they acquired from Atlanta. Justin Upton now hitting in the 3 slot between Pujols and Trout. And Upton's having a career year, 39 doubles this year, 28 home runs, having a nice season. So that's what the Mariners are up against in these three games. Mike Leake will take the ball in the first game tonight, and we'll hear from Mike Leake coming up in a few moments. He was outstanding in his first start as a Mariner. 7 innings of 2-run ball, tied his season high for strikeouts, and surpassed his season high in pitches thrown. One of the highest ground ball rates in baseball. It doesn't walk a ton either. One of the lowest walks per nine rate in baseball. So that's all good as Leake will take the ball here in game one of the series. For game one of the series for the Angels, Ricky Nolasco will get the ball. He's given up a ton of homers this year, 33 home runs on the season. Although he did have his best game of the year against the Mariners, July 1st in LA. 9 innings, complete game, 3-hit shutout over the Mariners. Last time, though, he faced him. He's faced him 4 times already this year. August 11th, Mariners got him 5 earned runs in 5 innings pitched. And he's given up 5 home runs to the Mariners in 4 starts. So that's the matchup here for game 1 of this series. Albers against Heaney on Saturday. Erasmo against Parker Bridwell on Sunday. That's the 3-game series. So a big, big series coming up for the Mariners. Then they hit the road, 4 in Texas, 3 more against the Houston Astros. Angels, they catapulted back into this race playing the Mariners earlier last month in August, a 4-game sweep at the hands of the Mariners. August 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, the Angels swept aside the Mariners, and that really made the difference in the Angels' season so far. So big series starts tonight. The rotation has been very good for the Mariners. The last 6, a 2.65 ERA. Opponents just batting 175, but they've got to get the sticks going. And a chance to do it against the Angels, who still have had some struggles in their rotation. Angels just took 2 of 3 from the A's. They were off yesterday as well. They lost the final game of the series 3-1 to Oakland. Now they're 3-3 on what is a 9-game road trip. Then they head back home. Angels have 6 left against the Mariners, 6 against the Astros, 3 Texas, 3 Cleveland, and 4 against the Chicago White Sox. So game one tonight, 7:10 first pitch from Safeco Field. Mike Leake will take the ball as the Mariners desperately trying to get the win against the Angels. So that comes up tonight. Right now, let's hear from Mike Leake, who will take the ball tonight.
Boy, what a whirlwind few days. You get the trade, head to St. Louis, now in Seattle. You're on the mound. How satisfying was it to pitch the team to victory, and what was a very impressive outing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was extremely satisfying, especially coming off a tough road trip. Being able to come here, put the first one away, hopefully we can repeat it today.
Now, you grew up a Mariners fan, right? So yeah. What's it like putting on that Mariners uniform?
It's pretty surreal. I mean, it's a moment I'll cherish forever, just because it was an honor growing up a Mariners fan, and now that I get to put the uni on and actually be a part of it, I mean, you really never think you would, but I mean, the fact that I'm here today is a pretty cool feeling.
Why were you a Mariners fan growing up?
My aunt lives up here, and I like Mariner Moose growing up, so it was love at first sight. So
nice. Well, you haven't spent that much time in Safeco Field. One time last year on the mound, but you also pitched there in college.
Yep.
At Arizona State against the University of Washington, had a great game there. What are your memories about that, your first time at Safeco Field on the mound?
I mean, it was empty, but it was cold too, because it was one of our first games of the year. Mm. But it was a pretty cool experience, just because Safeco was my top two stadiums I ever liked. So I mean, getting to pitch in it in college is even more cool, just because when you're that young, it's something you strive for.
You had a tremendous career at Arizona State, Pac-10 Pitcher of the Year a couple of years in a row. I mean, the numbers were off the charts. How much did pitching in the Pac-12 get you ready for the big leagues?
I think it allowed me to skip the minors. I mean, I guess the fact that I was able to learn so much, just because we had such quality coaching all around the board, was – we had Stankiewicz, who was an ex-big leaguer, who just shared knowledge that really just helped me bloom as a baseball player, really. So I think it just shows that it helped get me to the next level.
One of the things that stood out about the game last night is the pace you work at, the quick pace. What led you to work at that kind of pace?
I was taught at a young age from my dad. I mean, I was taught to get the ball and go. I mean, I wasn't taught to walk around the mound or think about things. That's what the pregame is for. So I also don't like to bore guys. So it's nice to be able to go and just work at a quick pace. And some games don't allow you to. Sometimes you have to slow it down, but. Last night, fortunately, was able to get in a rhythm with Mike, and it was fun to work with him.
How was it working with Mike Zunino for the first time?
I think it was pretty spot on. I mean, yeah. I know it's going to take time, but yeah. I mean, it was pretty encouraging working with him last night. And I think as long as we keep communicating, keep trying to get better with each other, I think it'll be a good experience.
Well, congratulations. Great outing last night.
Thank you.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
And how about, as our 40th anniversary celebration continues, we hear from a name from the past, Bob Walcott. Well, this is a conversation I'm looking forward to very much, and I know Mariner fans will always remember the name Bob Walcott for a lot of reasons, and we get a chance to reminisce with Bob Walcott right now. Let's first talk about August of 1995. You're a young pitcher in the organization. You get the call up to the big leagues. The Mariners making this incredible run in the month of August. What is going through your mind as you get the call up to the big leagues?
I just wanted to do my part. You know, I didn't want to be an anchor as a young player. You know, it's I guess there aren't a lot of big expectations. So I wanted to give the team a chance to win every time I took the mound and just do everything I could to keep the run going and be helpful.
And you were local. I mean, Medford, you know, Pacific Northwest guy, familiar with the Mariners, obviously. Did the significance of what was unfolding at the time register for you as such a young pitcher?
It really didn't. Not in August. You know, as the season went on and we had the streak, you know, through August and September, and we started to pack the stadium, you know, sell out crowds every night, 58,000 people, it started to sink in that this was really something special.
Yeah, as that was unfolding into September, what was the atmosphere of the kingdom like on a night-to-night basis?
It was amazing. Just how loud the stadium would get, the amount of energy and the amount of fan support, it was magic. I guess that's the best way I could describe it.
And, of course, you guys win the one-game playoff against the Angels. You lose two in New York. You come back home. What was the feeling of the ball club coming back home, having lost two, including an incredibly tough ball game and extra innings, knowing that you're up against it, needing to win all three?
we just felt like we had work to do. You know, we knew we weren't out of it. We'd been doing amazing things all through September with some of the wins and the way that games were finishing up. So we knew we had a chance. There wasn't any doubt there, you know, but with the way the series going, we knew that we had our work cut out for us.
And then it came down to that moment, greatest moment in Mariners history. Ken Griffey Jr. on first, Edgar Martinez at the plate, and you will live in Mariners history all time. You look at those photos in the background. There's one where you're leaping about 10 feet in the air. There's the one where every day I come to the ballpark, I look at the picture of Ken Griffey Jr. in the pile, and you're right there as well. Describe that moment when he slides across home plate for the win.
I don't really think words can. There was just so much tension from that series, all the games going into extra innings, just nail biters, you know, with a constant knot in your gut, and that game included. And it came down to the last at bat, you know. And so there's just so much tension, and then it released all at the same time. You know, if he hit a home run, it would have been completely different, but he hits a ball that's going to be borderline. So you're just like, oh, and, you know, Griffey's on first, and you look around, or you turn your head and you see Griffey running as fast as I've ever seen anybody run. I mean, I know he's fast, but I'd never seen him run like that. And you're like, oh, he's really got a chance. And then he rounds third, and he beats it. And it's just, I mean, it was amazing. And it all came to a head in that jump, you know. Yeah. It was like releasing like 5-6 days worth of the stress and tension.
Stress and tension is a perfect way to describe it. And at that point, the pitching staff was really beat up. I mean, yeah. Randy had come out of the bullpen. Guys were really stretched. You get the call in game one of the series against the Cleveland Indians, the powerful Cleveland Indians. There you are, the first inning, facing what is an incredible lineup. I mean, Lofton, Vizquel, Baerga. You walk all three to start the game. Bases loaded, facing Albert Bell. Lou Piniella comes out to talk to you. What did he say in that moment?
He said, fella, I don't care if we get beat 11-0. We need you to give us some innings today. Which, I think it was a lie to a degree, but it just gave me a breather. It allowed me to relax a little bit and just refocus on what I needed to do. And it was the perfect medicine I needed.
The right-hander into the wind and the 2-2 pitch on the way to Albert Bell. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on a fastball. So one big out.
You got Bell. He went through the teeth of the order without giving up a run. What were your feelings as you walked to the dugout going through that order with a zero on the board in the first inning?
Oh, I was ecstatic. I mean, I made it through the heart of the order without giving up a run. So I knew it could only go uphill.
Yeah.
It can't get much tougher or more stressful than that. And so at that point, I liked my odds.
Bobby Wolcott into his wind, and the 0-1 pitch on the way. Swung on, one hopper. Great stop by Cora from his knees. Throws him out. My, oh my, a miracle in the first.
Well, you pitched really well in that ball game. You gave the Mariners 7. You got the win in a very close ball game. When you look back on that game, pitching in the American League Championship Series, what do you think about?
I think about anything is possible. I mean, it was a real David and Goliath situation, and all you can do is the best you can do. You know, when the odds seem insurmountable, all you can do is go out and give it 100% and do the best you can do. And I feel like that's what I did. And I carry those lessons that I learned playing in that year and playing here, you know, with me to this day in the way I approach different things.
The din is almost painful here. 0-1 the count. The 0-1 pitch to Eddie Murray on the way now. And it swung on and a ground ball hit to Soho. He has it, bobbles, picks it up, throws to first, and the Mariners are a game up. They win game number 1-3-2. My, oh, my. And it was a 22-year-old kid that led them. Bobby Wolcott went 7 outstanding innings. And he receipts for the victory. And 57,000 fans continue to believe. They continue to live an incredible dream. And the Mariners in game number 1 win it by 1. What a ball game.
You still live in the Pacific Northwest. Is it even more special for you with the connection to the Mariners in that year?
Yeah, I love the Pacific Northwest, and it just feels like a real sense of community to me, you know, that having traveled all over the United States and lived in Japan and all that, this is the area that we came back to. You know, this is where we want to live, and anybody that lives here knows why. It's just fantastic.
You got a front row seat in your time to watch Edgar Martinez on a daily basis, and he is inching closer and closer to the Hall of Fame vote. I know Mariners fans are hoping that he does get pushed over into the Hall of Fame. When you watch him on a daily basis, how good of a hitter was Edgar Martinez?
He was amazing. I mean, it was, God, I was so spoiled. You know, the guys that I got to to watch on a daily basis, he was one of the best. And as a just pure hitter, he was as good as it gets. You know, you don't get better than that. To hit to all fields with power, inside, outside, breaking pitches, off speed, doesn't matter. He was ready for it, and it was a treat. It was a treat.
And Ken Griffey Jr., of course, already in the Hall of Fame. No shock there. First ballot Hall of Famer. What was it like being teammates with Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, to watch him play on a daily basis, he had the highest vote total of all time for the Hall of Fame. I mean, and I got to sit in the dugout and shake his hand after he hit a home run. And to see how he got there, how he got to that point of having the highest vote total. I mean, it was amazing watching him play. I mean, amazing doesn't do it justice. Anybody that's played with him knows what it's like to have him out there, and you might see a miracle at any point. And it was really cool. You know, I feel very fortunate.
Well, here we are sitting in the dugout at Safeco Field. Beautiful day, the sun pouring in. Didn't get the same opportunity at the Kingdom across the street. What do you remember, though, about playing in the Kingdom?
It was a tough place to pitch. It was not very pitcher-friendly, but I actually really liked the Kingdom. It was great how loud the place got.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with the acoustics and with a full house, it was a different level. You know, you didn't see that anywhere else in the league. It was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, especially that stretch in 95. I mean, it was deafening at times.
Oh, yeah. Deafening doesn't do it justice. It was fun. I mean, I remember, you know, when you're pitching the next night, you're charting pitches in the clubhouse, watching the games on TV, because you can see a lot better what's going on, where the pitches are, than you can from the dugout. And so I remember somebody hit a home run. I think it was Griffey, actually. And so I put the clipboard down, and you could hear the rumble from the clubhouse a little bit, but the closer you got to the entrance of the dugout, the more deafening it became. And it was cool to step through the door, and all of a sudden you just can't hear yourself think, and it's just mayhem, the crowd going crazy. It was something else.
Well, thanks so much for sharing the stories. We really appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
It is former Mariner pitcher Bob Walcott.
See you later!